Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Greatest Thing About Poor Things. I'm Zach Oldenburg, and I want to talk about the audacious thing about poor things.
That could be so many things. I'm Ben Grigsby, and I want to talk about the vibe thing about poor things.
I'm Lauren Heimbaugh, and I kind of want to choose the erotic thing again, but I won't. I'm Lauren Heimbaugh, and I want to talk about the ruffled thing about poor things.
Poor
that was good.
Things,
I like that.
Is a 2023 picture available wherever you get it now. Fresh after the Oscars, where it won a few, four, I believe. It is the latest collaboration between Yorgos Lanthimos, who directed The Favorite, The Lobster, Killing of a Sacred Deer, and Emma Stone, who worked with him on The Favorite. It also stars Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe, and Rami Youssef, along with some other people popping up along the way.
Surprise Margaret Qualley.
Yep. It's an adaptation of a book, but it's a reinvention of the Frankenstein's monster story, but with a feminist bent, as well as just an assault on the norms of our society across the board. And I am a huge Yorgos fan. I think the first... I see Dogtooth before I saw The Lobster. I might have. Dogtooth kind of broke through as it was his breakthrough movie. It's a Greek film. Got put on my radar, but The Lobster was his first fully English language movie, I believe, and I fell in love with that. I think I might have picked it as my number one movie of that year, even. Which I saw early because it was in London. I saw it in Dublin, Ireland, or something, like a full year before it actually came out over here. It was one of the first films A24 acquired and put out as well. But he has been my fave. One of my favorite working directors, and Poor Things was no different. I put it at number three on my best of list last year. And I think it's quite hilarious. I think Emma Stone gives the best performance of the last year in this film, and it's got a lot on its mind, but it's also completely irreverent and silly at the same time, and just not afraid to go for any joke at any time. And not that it's trying to make a political statement, and that someone could interpret that as like trying to be edgy or something, but it's just very matter of fact, and it has cheap jokes and high jokes along the way. And
to meet you.
I
such a terrible amazing bit.
I love this movie. I imagine it'll hit five stars for me eventually. I haven't put that stamp on it yet. That might just be partially because I rewatched the last hour like quite sleepily. We can talk about the end. It seems like a lot of people push up against the last act of the movie, so I'm curious to see where you all stand on that. Ben saw this in theaters, so this is a rewatch for him, correct?
Yeah, and I went with some family, so that was
awkward experience.
It's like when I watched Cold Mountain with my family.
Well, it's funny. I went with some of the same family, and then my parents in it, or I think my mom and my grandma at least as well, to go see The Favorite. So I just have learned nothing from that experience. Apparently,
Yorgos was like, Ben, damn it, I've tried to teach you a lesson once.
It's like, I can't keep making them weirder. We all, like, actually, the whole group was pretty positive on it. We all needed time to kind of process, understandably, because this movie is fucking wild. I forget where I heard it but there was something I read or heard that that said it's like mentally ill Wes Anderson. And that's kind of perfect, right? Like, it has like that same aesthetic, but also like it feels almost like Wes Anderson, but you're like, oh, this is not, he wouldn't do it this way. And I think the actual set design, like everything on the boat, like looks incredible. Like, I was more interested in the background than the performances, and those performances were awesome.
I learned today that was an LED screen for the background.
What?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's nuts! Oh, wow. Oh. I mean, I understand why that... We're not spoilers yet. Damn it. I had a really good one for that. But I think the first half hour, 40 minutes, it's a lot to get through. Like, I wasn't really vibing with it.
So through the whole black point sequence? Until she leaves.
Yeah.
Leaves for Lisbon.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Like,
I don't think that's spoiler.
Yeah, like, when she, like, I mean, like, once they get on a boat, like, that's kind of when it really, like, it hits its stride for me. And I think that's also where it has, like, the best performances from any part of the movie for me.
Mm. Interesting.
And it's just, it's so funny. It's so, like, confident in its own creative weirdness. And all the cast is just so game for, like, I can't imagine reading the script and being like, yeah, no, I see how you want to play that for sure. Yeah, uh-huh. And I just, I don't know if I'd say the whole final act. Like, I can understand people complaining about how that it feels like, oh, I don't understand where this is coming from or why it's happening. But I was kind of like, I was okay with it. But there's one part in the very end that I was not a fan of. But it does very little to kind of like throw me off from how good this movie is. It's weird. Like, movies usually that are bookended by tough beginnings and like very endings that I'm not a fan of, usually it's like that's what I remember. But I'm like, going back into this the second time, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot how like it took me 40 minutes to get into this movie and I didn't like the last 5 or 10 minutes, but oh my god, everything in between is so good. So yeah, I enjoyed this just as much a second time, if not a little bit more.
Interesting. You don't like the first part didn't work for you. It's just very.
And
I would say the boat sequence was my least favorite sequence of the movie. It played better for me the second time, but
there's also one other scene that I really didn't like, but we'll get into that in spoilers. But overall, like the like middle 2 hours is,
yeah,
like hour 50 is really really good. Very high on this movie. If I had seen it before the end of the year, it'd probably have been on my top 10. I don't know how high it would have been, but it would have been on there. But then you guys would have been even more mad because I would have moved down Spider-Verse and not have been on the list anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. When this movie started up, there was like sewn in artistry into like fabric or whatever. It's like, oh no, are we about to get a Midsummer? Is this going to be that again? I was concerned. And then the black and white Willem Dafoe combo happened, and I was even more concerned because I was having flashbacks to The Lighthouse and this whatever accent he was doing in this movie. But I'm assuming it was Scottish. I don't know. But the first part of the movie, the black and white section, I'll say I didn't know how to feel because, like, Emma Stone, it feels like she's almost doing an insensitive interpretation of a certain person. But it's like, no, it's just someone who hasn't developed into being a human yet. But it was just weird and kind of uncomfortable. And I was not sure how I was going to feel about the rest of the movie. But then when we go through like the Wizard of Oz pivot where everything's suddenly in color, I got on board. And I saw a joke that made me laugh when I was watching just random videos about this movie today. And one of the comments was, this is Barbie for people who like Bjork. That just made me laugh a lot just because it's just funny what movies lately have been kind of bringing oddly the same thoughts to my mind. Like this, Barbie, Bottoms. It's like just a random collection of movies. But like overall, I really enjoyed it. It's one of those movies that I feel like the hype was so high on it that it didn't necessarily live up to that for me, because there's just, and not to like be reductive of what the movie is, especially because I don't want Emma Stone to roll her eyes at me like she did for Jimmy Kimmel. But there is a lot of sex in this movie for a long part of it. And I was just like, okay, like, we can move through this a little bit more. It's like, goodness. But like, I definitely appreciate the themes that it was working with about, like, I was so relieved earlier when I was reading, I saw something that like Yorgos and Emma Stone didn't want you to see her as a child, because a lot of people were pushing back against this movie because it was basically like a child having sex throughout the entirety of the movie. And they said that they very much did not want you to interpret it that way. You know, she's just a blank slate. She's not a child, even though she does have a child's brain. But it's like, okay, thank God, because I really did not want to have to go back and look up my notes from high school about like Freudian psychosexual development stages of children. I don't want to get into it that deep. Instead, I could just appreciate a woman slowly understanding who she is and where she fits into society, and like just not caring about what she's supposed to be. I can really appreciate that. And like just shamelessness, both in her performance and the character she's playing, Emma Stone. Like, I can definitely understand why she was nominated and won for this movie. She was great. Everyone was great, though, like you guys said. Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo was...
Oh, he was my favorite.
Funnier performance I've seen.
I saw that he was very concerned about his performance in this and would make jokes about how he was going to get replaced with... shit, what's his name? Poe Dameron.
Oh.
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, he was concerned he was going to get replaced with him. And he was filming a movie at the same time, like on the sets, but like next door. And so he came over one day and was just like, "Yep, you're being replaced. You have been fired." And he's just like, "Oh no!" But it's like, it's just weird to me to see him. Like, cause, I mean, I can understand just because it's like not outlandish, but just exaggerated performance and like just his foppishness. But it's like, I loved his performance so much just because like, he was basically the child in the scenario, and just like when he would throw tantrums. Yeah. Like, there's a scene like we were talking about on the boat where when Bella's slowly developing her understanding of the world and how she views it, or just taking in all these different philosophies and whatever, and he's just throwing her books over the edge of the boat like no. And just like whenever she would push back against him, he would do these like super dramatic turns. It's like, oh, if only he had like a long wig right now, it'd be so dramatic. But he was just a little child tantruming whenever she started to like not give him all of what he wanted, and I loved their dynamic so much.
Yeah, like as she was maturing, he was like regressing. Yeah, it was like this really cool I loved that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just, that's what I appreciated that on this watch, is that more than just like about, you know, about a woman find like coming at her place, and it still is about that obviously, but coming at her the place of women in this society, which I think is supposed to be a little bit more in the past than our current, you know, it's in a somewhat fantasy world.
Feels like a kind of steampunk.
Yeah, but it all the second time it just played. Ruffalo played even better to what you guys are saying, like to the, like his world just is being torn down around him, as Bella just tears it apart at every turn, and he's too weak and feeble to push back.
Well, like the first, like one of the best bits in the whole movie is the whole like, oh, that's a weakness in men, and then he just pauses. He's like, kind of like that was such a god, yeah. Everything they do in this movie is so good.
Yeah, I am so glad he tried to not do the movie apparently like a couple times and like turned it down before, so like he had some real hesitancies around it. But apparently the line he says in the interview I heard was, Yorgos just, he tried to turn him down again, and Yorgos like said, he is you.
Yeah, I read that too.
I don't know how I would take that, like
a juvenile stud.
I mean, I knew, I like, obviously I was pumped for this movie. It would been one of my most anticipated movies of the year, regardless, just because it was Yorgos. And but just seeing that first trailer, like I had no idea like it was gonna go for the look that it has and everything. But the Ruffalo,
when the first movies or like the images dropped and we saw just like penis windows, it was like, what is this movie?
But like Ruffalo in that trailer where he does that like quick snide look away move, mm-hmm. like that little quick cut mm-hmm. was in the trailer, and I was like, oh, he is definitely up to something in this movie.
Well,
and
the bit that sold me on the trailer was just like his
when she slapped him.
Oh my gosh, when he, I guess, I mean, maybe we can get to spoilers after this, but when he smacks his head a couple times in frustration.
Yeah. That hurt my head.
I was just like, good lord. I mean, it was hilarious. I got a migraine
from it.
But like he, I mean, I don't, it yeah, didn't look it like he faked like, it, you know.
Yeah, that looks like genuinely real. Like, and you can just like the sound design is
incredible
like
for that.
Echoing yeah. is yeah. like, oh, like
they could only shoot
so
that scene
good.
Twice because the second time he knocked himself unconscious. Like,
second movie in a row where a leading man slams their head into a concrete wall.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's like we also have like we have like it's so funny because we had like that slamming which brought me great joy, and then we had like the slamming in Talk to Me, which is like the very very similar actions but very different vibes. Oh. Like.
I forgot about that.
I don't think I'll ever forget about it.
I guess I was more scarred by the dog. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Love.
Speaking
love
of
light.
Dogs that scar you, this movie. It's like, there was like a, I don't remember if it was a bulldog or a French time. Bulldog. It was like half dog, half like duck or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was reading through the IMDb trivia, and apparently Emma Stone had names for like a few of them, like Goose Willis and Meryl Cheep. Oh, goodness.
God, I love her even more.
She yeah. was also produced this film, like her company.
Oh, that's right,
like,
yeah.
She's very much like not just an actor for hire, or not even beyond like, hey, I just want to work with my mm-hmm. favorite director again. Like she like Margot Robbie with Barbie was like one of the main producing credits, driving mm-hmm. creative forces behind getting this movie made, which is awesome. And mm-hmm. I love that her and Margot basically can do. I mean, Emma Stone might not be able to get the budgets Margot Robbie can get right now, but. Like this movie was this movie made $100 million worldwide and like was made for like $30 million.
Nice.
And it, you know, like what's his face? Cord Jefferson, is that his name? I think the guy who did American Fiction. He at his Oscar speech, you know, he was like, how about we make like 10 or 20 $10 million movies instead of one $200 million movie. That mm-hmm. and then like it, but like this just like this just proves that middle budget borderline low budget by this standards, like $30 million is,
well, I mean, think about like what God, like even with Godzilla mm-hmm. winning best visual effects yeah. and being significantly cheaper yeah. than anything else. Like on the
I'm still mad about them getting cut off in their speech. That was rough.
They got cut off.
Yeah, and he, like the guy who was speaking was talking about like dedicating it to someone. I think they were a crew member maybe who died. Mm-hmm. And like it was in the middle of that and they got cut off. It's like,
wow.
Oh no, that was rough.
That's omega fucked. Okay.
Wow. I mean, yes. And
I mean,
I
it wasn't
they were,
intentional.
They were also,
it just kind of happened
yes,
at the
yeah.
same exact time.
But they were,
the music
they,
started
I think
playing,
were,
and he started talking about it.
They were extremely gracious with the time. As mm-hmm. There was no reason to cut them off. They were running ahead of schedule. And he was like, he was also trying to give the speech in English, which is,
yeah.
And he was reading it phonetically off a piece of paper, I'm pretty sure as well. And it was, yeah, like it was clear he was almost done. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but oh well. Next time, that guy, he might get another chance. Every major filmmaker has said they loved his
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
So,
when is
it'll
Godzilla,
be interesting to
when
see
is
what
is
he
it
does next.
I need to see
wasn't
it
Christopher so. Nolan just talked about
Nolan,
it? Like,
Nolan,
absolutely
Spielberg
it.
Told
it
him he
wild.
Saw the movie 3 times. Yeah, that guy's,
no
that guy's
holy
been
shit.
Getting some accolades
awesome.
Lately.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Star ratings for Poor Things. I'm 4.5.
I'm 4.
Listen, I'm 3.5. It was just a little long for me, but I still greatly appreciate what it did. But
Poor Things. That's fair. It's on Hulu. You can own it. You can buy it on Blu-ray. Not 4K though, the sons of bitches.
Yeah. When this gets 4K, because it was like you and I had talked about, like, yeah, maybe I don't need 4K for every movie, but like maybe the ones that like have great visual effects or something. It's like, okay, or like amazing set design. I'm not buying this on Blu-ray. Fuck that.
I mean, I would if the things hadn't changed recently, where Disney has given up a lot of the control over what movies are coming out and how they, like, none of these 20th century are these Searchlight movies. I don't know if they've ever given a Searchlight movie a 4K release. They just have weird. I mean, we should be slightly thankful they've even given it a Blu-ray release. You know, like the Empty Man and Barbarian, neither have Blu-ray releases yet.
Jeez.
So it's
that's wild. Insane, like, to me.
Empty Man kind of makes sense because it like didn't do well in theaters. Barbarian. And it was like killing it on streaming. Yeah,
Barbarian was a hit.
Yeah, that blows me away. Yeah,
but like the Empty Man, insane. If you were someone in a studio who was like, there's a zeitgeist of, and there was a moment like you could say, we're putting Empty Man out on Blu-ray, and they would have sold through their they would have made some money off it, you know? Yeah. And it's like, there's definitely, I will buy the Empty Man Blu-ray when it comes out. But that's enough for DVD Corner. But let's hope Poor Things gets put out when Sony starts helping pick out what movies Disney puts out from their wide catalog of films. Poor Things, it's available. We're going to talk about spoilers now.
So I think from here on out, we're going to go into spoiler territory. Mm-hmm. Are we spoilers yet?
Yes.
I did not realize how long the spoiler clip that you put into episodes is.
So spoilers. With that, we're going to get into spoilers.
So spoilers?
Sure.
Spoilers.
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 All the spoilers.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
So why didn't the beginning work for you, Ben? Like, because it felt too familiar. And Lauren, you can speak to this.
Well, it didn't
too,
work the first time either. Yeah. Like, it just, I don't know. Maybe it just takes me that long. Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, maybe it's just taking me this long to get on its wavelength. Mm-hmm. But I think, at least for me, I don't think it leaned into the comedy quite as much until it gets to the boat. And that's when it's like, oh, this is actually, like, full-on comedy at times. Mm-hmm. I also think some of the stuff with Dafoe and, is it Rami
Malek.
Yusuf?
Yusuf. Yeah, Rami Yusuf. Yeah. Not Malek.
But they, like, the way they talk about her, like, her learning about her own sexuality, like, I totally get it. Makes sense in the movie. Them talking about it is like, I don't know if I need that. And then he's like, oh, hey, I'm gonna propose to this girl. It's like, again, I get that she's not actually a child, but
you're still taking advantage of someone.
Yeah, but I mean,
right, and that's like
part of the point of the movie. The movie doesn't, too, though, you know, yeah.
But then we do have that great moment when she comes back and they're just walking along. It was like, what are they? They're walking along a park or something, and that's where it's like, oh, this feels genuine. Like, this is really nice.
And then
nice.
She kills a frog.
I'm glad you're...
That's early.
Later.
I'm talking about the later part.
When she returns.
Yeah. Which is like one of my favorite lines, which was the whole, like, it's your body, Bella Baxter, yours to do with what you want. And she's like, I would sell it for 30 francs. That seems
yeah.
That
was a great
line. Emma's line reading of kill it is one of the highlights of the movie.
Well, that and squish, like where she's just stabbing the face
of
the
God.
Scalpel.
Oh my God. That was one of the most shocking things in a movie last year.
Like the one part towards the beginning.
That bit I did
where
like.
I don't know if she was a maid or just the housekeeper or whatever. She grabbed my hairy business. Yeah. Like, I laughed so loud at that. It
and
was just
before,
unexpected.
Before she stabs the dude's eyeball, she just plays with his penis for a little bit.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like, only
my favorite line in the entire movie, though, is the, I have taken 5 milligrams of heroin through the toes for the pain, amphetamines for energy, and cocaine because I am partial to cocaine.
Yeah, that was good.
That's why the beginning worked so well for me, though. Like, Stone's performance, like, the physicality of it, and I just think Dafoe is hilarious every single beat of this movie.
Bubble he burps out.
Well, and I love that they're like, we get like 2 or 3 scenes of that before we get an explanation. So I'm like, oh, we're not ever going to learn about this. And that's like, oh, okay. All right. Well, it still doesn't make sense to me, but okay, cool. Also, just like him talking about his, like, every time he brings up his dad, it's just like this ghastly horror story.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But again, I love it when that's played for comedy. That's usually really funny. The only other bit I just really, like, kind of what's keeping it at 4.5 for me, from 4.5 for me, is when she is in the brothel and, you know, hooking up with all those men, which, again, fine by what the movie's trying to say. But then when the dad shows up with his kids, I'm like, yo, we need to not put this in a movie. This is like,
I mean, I don't think they were creating anything that didn't happen, for sure.
It made me laugh so much just because of how objective it was. Like, one of the kids was taking notes. The dad was explaining everything the whole time, and even she was just like, okay, no, I have a better explanation for this.
Oh, yeah. When she chokes him and he, like, he comes and then he's like, gives her a nod of approval. Like, oh, yeah, that was a good tip. Like that. And then she gives this great smile right before it hard cuts out of there. Like, I mean, this movie is searching for it finds comedy. Like, the brothel stuff, like the guy with the spider walking around like a spider while she was laying there.
Oh, and then, yeah.
Yeah. Like, she's just she's like cracking some prey up. To be found. Yeah. Like,
that was special.
That was great. Well, that's like that guy. It's like, is that smell you?
Yeah.
And then later she's like, I'll tell you a joke. You tell me a personal story. I'll take a sniff. I have some lavender oils if we need to. Like, that whole thing is brilliant. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, I'd go back. I said there's a lot of sex in this movie, but there's so much, like, cut in with it that makes it all worth it.
And, like, the camaraderie she builds with the one friend there and the owner is, like, those are such cool scenes.
Just randomly bite her.
I feel, Jesus. I feel bad, like, I mean, because she just, like, maybe it's the way she's dressed up. It makes her look just very... I'm not trying to be mean, but she definitely, like, it's a very awkward look.
I mean,
like,
Catherine Hunter is the actress. I mean, she's a very interesting looking person. Like, she's skinny and, like, all corners.
And,
it's like,
and they lean into that, which, like, I totally get that's the point. But it's like, I almost feel bad for, like how, like, I get it's supposed to be, like, bizarre, but also, like, that's a real person kind of thing. I don't know, but... yeah, but again, like, the way she interacts is great. The way they all interact is just so much fun. And then, like, that's arguably where she learns, most of what, like, one of the largest chunks of, like, her learning is from those experiences, which is just very interesting. Mm-hmm.
I loved her whole interaction with the woman on the boat. She was, like, very concerned about... whether or not she was sexually satisfied, like, taking care of herself or something.
Oh, that's like when you mentioned, like, you said it was what kind, the background was what? It was
LED screen. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, no wonder she was happy about just being thrown into it. Like, I'd have been like, all right, let's go. I want to check this shit out. That whole bit, too, is just amazing, where she's just having fun, like, oh, I've never been murdered before.
Yeah. That was hilarious, because it's, like, it's supposed to be, like, a real threat of danger, quote-unquote real threat of danger, and they're just laughing through it at how ridiculous Mark Ruffalo's character is.
Well, and then the other dude's just like, oh, she seems okay with it. My bad. Yeah. You go for it. Like, like, steps aside.
There's also that scene of just the random guy killing the seagull.
I know. That was
so weird.
I was like, I almost made a list of, like, random movies where people kill seagulls, and Willem Dafoe.
Oh, yeah. He's
not
in two of them.
Hey, Willem Dafoe is innocent in both those movies, though. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's part. He's like in the movie.
I mean, fuck, Robert Pattinson really kills that seagull.
Oh, movies. You could also narrow down that like large sections of them are set on like nautical, like or set in nautical settings.
With
like,
black and white photography.
Yeah,
dude. I like how you're freaking out about the black and white thing right now, even though I mentioned that like 20 minutes ago. Oh, one of the things I can say that caused my rating to be lower is just like, you know how I feel about fisheye lenses, and then this thing would have the lens that like caused a vignette to come down even slower, and I realize that's a means of like just really causing someone to focus on what's happening, and it kind of felt like it was under the microscope or something, but I hated it so much.
Yeah, every time I saw one of those I'm like, oh yeah, Lauren's not gonna dig this shot.
Yeah. Do not dig the lenses, but I do love the editing. There was,
at least they didn't have, what's that shot you hate of like going underneath?
Oh yeah, when the camera's over, like upside down and the car goes underneath it. Yeah, I hate that so much. They should have done it with the boat. Like, God. No, my favorite editing choice was towards the end of the movie where it's Bella and Max are standing over her, who we need to talk about that section, but her ex-husband, more or less. Mm-hmm. And it, like, the camera cuts from Bella to Max just to the goat that was suddenly in the room. And I was like, what the hell? Because I just assumed they were going to put Willem Dafoe's character's brain in the husband's body just so he could keep living. See, but no, it was a goat.
See, that's what really bugged me in the end. Yeah. Like, just, like, that would have made so much more sense than, like, okay, I get that's like punishing him, but also you're punishing that poor goat.
I don't know. That goat seemed to be having a great time.
I picked the cut to the goat. It was the hardest I laughed in a movie last year, and I picked it as my favorite shot in a movie last year.
What is the goat's name in the Vivitch?
Black Phillip.
Black Phillip.
Yeah. It's like those two goats, man. What a performance.
Well, I feel like Abbott's performance has that same vibe as cutting to sad Don Cheadle in Boogie Nights. Yeah, like it's very much that same, like, huh, I wasn't expecting this to be the next shot, but okay, I'll take it. God, that was so funny.
Christopher Abbott is the ex who finds out about Bella thanks to Mark Ruffalo's character. That scene of the movie seemed to get the most flack from the reviews I read as being like overly obvious or just like one more thing and da da. And I was like, I guess I could see that, but that, like, I love the ending. Like, it really just brings everything together and gives her, it tells her everything that she was, and like, it, like, seeing Bella stand up to him is just so terrific. Fantastic as well. And he is such a laughable, he's like Jack Donaghy in 30 Rock, like the perfect parody of, like, Jack Donaghy is like the perfect parody of like the corporate CEO type, like just like an absurd creation that became true over time, sadly. But like, this guy is just like the antithesis of what a progressive man is, and it is or person in general, not even a man. And he's just so brazenly evil. But he's also hamming it up, and I don't know, I really enjoyed his performance and that part of the movie.
Yeah, he was
and
great.
All of his comeuppance. And
I was really taken in by like the set design of that location, because there was just like the floors were supposed to look like just pools of blood, I'm assuming, and like the mirrors in the hallways and stuff were bordered with just bloody paint, and I thought that was really great.
And you have like the shot outside, and it's like just desolate. And you also have like the pink smoke coming up from the chimneys. I'm like, I don't even know what that would be. That's pretty ominous.
Just blood and everything, and all of his weapons, like, along the wall of the kit, or just like every room, I think, pretty much. But God, yeah.
As surprising as it was to see him pop up, I was still more happy to see Margaret Qualley, just who I had no idea was in this
movie.
I was like, oh, hey, like, that's so cool. And they just throw the ball at her and she starts crying and falls over. I'm like, this is this is sad, but also great.
Part of me wishes they would have dove into a little bit more, like, why she wasn't working as well. Like,
yeah.
I guess she was, they said she was making progress, but it didn't seem to be.
Whose brain did they use?
Yeah, that's, well, that too. Like they didn't.
It could also, be the lack of, like, the paternal love.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it was a more clinical setting for her, so she didn't have that connection to make it work.
Quali is in their next movie, Yorgos and Emma's next movie as well. So let's hope
good.
Little bit more to do than that one.
I'm so excited to watch. Yeah, what's the movie she's in currently? Drive What Dolls?
Drive Away Dolls.
Oh, Drive Away Dolls. Yeah.
It was solid fun.
Nice.
I think we touched on most of the cast. I don't think we, I think we could have undersold both Stone and Ruffalo, even though we praised them to high heavens. Defoe as well. Like, Rami keeps, holds his own, but like, Rami, Yusuf, and Jared Carmichael both just feel slightly out of their depths.
Jared Carmichael. The
other three?
Carmichael. I was so thrown just because everyone was doing these accents, and then he just has an American accent. I was like, you don't belong here. This feels wrong.
His accent was asshole.
He had that line about, like, I actually wanted to hurt you. I couldn't bear to see such dumb, beautiful happiness in someone. It's like, that's rough.
But, like, even, like, Bella, like, Emma Stone's vocal performance as it evolves over the course of the movie is just so, and, like, her movements and, it just so, I mean, her delivery of poor Bella early on is just kills me every time. And Defoe is incredible, too. Like, I mean, a lot of people tapped that he was going to be one of the Oscar five, and he missed, but, if he was nominated and won, like, I would have considered it a fantastic win. You know, like, him and Ruffalo were really quite fantastic.
People were just very upset when they found out those books were not real.
And I remember just you, like, texting me, like, he is, like, Willem Dafoe's God tier. And I was like, that's a weird way to phrase that. I don't feel like you'd phrase it that way. And then it's like, oh, because his name is God.
I got jokes.
Funny then. Zach. Of course, it took me like halfway through the movie to realize, that's what he was talking about. Okay. Like, the performance was great, obviously, but also just like, again, like, took too long to figure out for me.
We also didn't talk about the scene in the middle, the dance scene.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, too.
God, it was just... the highlight for me. I loved it so much.
Hilariously awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the song choice as well. It's just incredible, like, as well.
Bow.
Yeah.
Well, I think also, like, highlight wise for me is Ruffalo throwing the, what were they? What did she buy?
I don't remember.
They're like eclairs in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The second one he throws, the look on her face is just like, not mad, but just like so utterly confused. It's so good.
His little hunched up pose on the bench too. And then when he shows up crying too at the window, just what a pathetic loser. Yeah, just so good.
And then at the end when her husband comes back and he's like hiding behind him, but like throwing jabs at her, like witch or whatever. I would have nominated him. Where's his nomination? He was the best. Oh, Mark, he was?
Ruffalo? Yeah, he was.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
That's good. He deserved one.
He was probably in second place if they showed the votes.
Who won?
Robert Downey Jr.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
The part of the movie that I thought didn't need to exist.
I think we've done about all of our Poor Things chat. We don't have a schedule beyond this week.
Who's my pick next?
We would be starting over with Lauren.
Yeah. I was trying to think.
If you don't know, that's fine.
I don't know.
Always figure that out later.
I was thinking about Crazy Stupid Love, but then I was like, maybe I should watch La La Land. But if I do that, then I actually have to watch Moonlight as well. And... that's a lot
maybe
of work
just pick
for
Moonlight.
Me.
Just pick Moonlight.
I mean, I think she'd prefer to see La La Land, but then she just wants to be able to comment on both of them.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, like, to be able to assess that conundrum.
I'll think on it tonight and let you guys know what I decide.
Great. We'll be watching more good things, not just poor things, in the future. And until then, I'm Zach Oldenburg. Find us wherever you can find at Zach Oldenburg. Find us at middleofrow.com. Rate and review the podcast. Apparently, it does stuff.
I'm Ben Grigsby. You can find me at Chocobo Ben. Okay, I'm kidding. Don't worry about that. Just fucking with you guys. I'm Ben Grigsby. You can find me at Weirdest Wizard. Weirdest Wizard on Twitter. You can find me at Weirdest_Wizard on Letterboxd. You can find all of us on Facebook at Middle of the Row.
I was about to be so annoyed because you changed your image in Skype to the wizard. It's like, not what? But I'm Lauren Heimbaugh. You can find me on Letterboxd and Twitter at Beware of Trees. And you can find us on Twitter at Middle of Row.
Thanks for listening. Go watch good things. And remember, the best seats are in the middle of the row.